So before we kick off with the podcast, I wanted to tell you guys about our upcoming free training, Selling Profitable Group Memberships, how to enroll your first 10 members into a $225 a month group membership. It is going to be on Wednesday, November 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you've been listening to our content, you know that we believe the most impactful skill a gym owner can learn is how to consistently and confidently sell a group membership at a profitable rate, regardless of what market they live in. So in this training, we're going to show you exactly how to do that. So you're going to leave the training with a complete and straightforward plan on how to feel confident selling and marketing your group membership, how to attract members who can and will invest at this level, and what to include in your group program in order to charge this rate without adding one-on-one or PT to, quote, make it more valuable. So if you've been wanting to really focus on growing your group revenue, your group auto pay, you don't want to miss this training. Because once you learn how to enroll your first 10 at $225 a month, that becomes your new baseline. So register for the training by looking in the podcast description for the link or head to our website to register through there.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Art of Profitable Lifestyle Gym podcast. Joined today, Andrea. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, I'm excited about this. You got me hyped for this conversation. We've been having a lot of great dialogue with gym owners online. And if you're tuning in today, we're going to dive into the topic of what to do if you want to increase your rates, but you've realized you're losing members to competitors at lesser rates, or you're getting pushback from members that are, you know, feeling like you're not worth what you believe you're worth. And let's just kind of start with that scope of, you know, we've got some pretty heavy things going on from an ownership standpoint. There's worry, there's stress, there's anxiety of losing people or losing revenue. And this thought of how do I dig myself out of this? How do I actually find a path forward if this is the situation in front of me?
Yeah. Yeah. It can be a really intimidating time, especially to hear our message and be at a place where it's like, okay, but like I'm charging 150 and people are still leaving and you're asking me to charge 225 or 250 or whatever. So we understand like that's a very like legitimate thing to think, right? Like it almost kind of feels like, oh, whatever they're doing, I can't. And so we just want to speak to that. We want to speak to you actually can. Like here's what you need to think through. Here's what you need to do. Here's the way you need to like structure. There's a strategy and the mindset to it. So I'm excited to like expand upon those things because yeah, it's a legitimate concern, right? If your reality is like people are leaving when I'm charging 150, everyone would leave when I'm going to charge 250, like, and your circumstances are proving that thought, I can understand where you're coming from.
It kind of feels like, you know, since we're all gym owners on this and you're coaching a client and they get frustrated with learning a new skill. And I kind of feel like, you know, going from a lesser price to a higher price, it is a skill in order to do that. And we, if we look at it as, hey, there's an actual progression from building you from where you're at in your current level of, you know, business experience, that's the analogy to fitness experience. And we're trying to get to here at charging that higher rate. So my message to you guys is, it's just frustrating. It's just new. It's just something that you haven't practiced and got a lot of reps on. But what I think a lot of people are searching for, but like, coach, just teach me, show me the steps. Is there a plan that I can follow so I can feel like I'm progressing? Because it right now feels like everything is wrong and I'm just overwhelmed.
Yeah. So the first concept that I think we want to introduce is this concept of like your yes people versus your no people, which I think is really important to distinguish. Every business has their yes people and they have their no people. Their yes people want to buy. Their yes people have a problem and they're interested in a solution. They want to invest. They know they need this. They're just human. They're a little scared. They're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. This is more than I've ever spent before. They have those concerns, but not because they don't want the thing. It's because they're human and we need to speak to them to address those concerns, to empower them to take action, to show them like, here is the bridge to your problem. Here are the solutions we offer to you. And it's safe to make this decision. It's a good decision for you. It might be scary, but like, I know that this is what you want. Those are your yes people. Your no people are like, I don't want it. Why should I get it? Do you have a discount? You have to convince me. And what happens is when you're marketing, you have to be really intentional to talk to your yes people, but you're going to want to talk to your no people. You're going to want to cater to them. You're going to want to offer the discounts, bend over backwards, like offer them a deal maybe that you wouldn't offer anybody else because you're like, just join. Like, it's very convincing energy. And yeah, I think that that's a really important thing to, even when you're writing content, when you're talking to anyone, like ask yourself, am I trying to convince a no person or am I trying to empower a yes person?
I think the awareness part to this is so important, where here's how I've kind of thought about this is when I promote, you know, my business and my offer out there, I really have a clear expectation of like, these are just people. And I haven't really assigned a yes or a no to them yet. My message has hopefully attracted them with the right, you know, qualities and interest, because I'm looking for that alignment, like high up in just letting people know I exist. And what the interesting thing is when we begin this process of following up with this person, is I'm still undecided of whether they're a yes or no, because I haven't, you know, really built a dialogue with them. I haven't got a chance to hear what they have to say or how they answer things. So it's almost like going in blind and accepting that this is just a person in front of me, but how they show up, how they answer the questions that I have for them matters. And then this speaks to, if you're not asking good questions, if you're not getting, you know, into what they care about, does it align with characteristics or qualities of the people that pay and stay? Well, then that might be a roadblock of, well, you haven't really stepped into deciding what's a yes person and what's a no person.
Yeah. And I think it comes in further up in the funnel, because it starts with a marketing message, right? Like your marketing message, it has to speak to the yes people. So maybe this is like semantics, but like when you're trying to decide if this is a no person or a yes person based on that conversation, I don't really think it's a decision, more of a confirmation. Like, I have communicated and attracted and like spoke to yes people. So everybody who comes through my pipeline is in theory a yes person. Now you use that time to ask the questions, get the information to confirm like, yep, they're a yes person. Like, I knew it. Like, that was the point. Or you're like, oh, actually this one got through that. I don't think they're ready yet. And I don't want you to be like, yes is good, no is bad. Like, that's not what I'm saying. It's just kind of where they're at in their journey. And so if they're not ready, if they're not yes, like I want to invest, then they're more like just, you know, maybe price shopping, or maybe not bought into the journey and they just want like to lose 10 pounds. They're not ready yet, right? They're not ready to make a commitment to their lifestyle. They're just like, I want to lose 10 pounds or I want to do this one thing.
That's such a good way of looking at it. It's almost like your view of how they come in. It's like everyone's a yes until they're a no. Or everybody's neutral until you understand which side they're on based on how they're showing up and their readiness. That's such a great mindset. It's like, it can be either or, just how you see the world. But at the outcome level, we're saying, hey, they need to align with the characteristics, the qualities of people who say yes to, you know, the right rates, to the things that go into being a great client. And that's one of the first steps, is I think being aware of, like, you could be chasing the wrong client. You could absolutely be falling in love and thinking that you're missing out on the best person ever, yet they're completely wrong for you. And that shows up in the form of price. That shows up in the form of, you know, people who have the money but don't have the commitment. So we have to do a good job, I think, of really, you know, becoming the expert in the marketing and follow-up process and not just get flooded with feelings like just because someone opted in, oh my God, they're ready to sign up. It's like, we got to say, hey, like if we don't take charge of this and actually have a process, well, then you're going to feel like you're out of control. And that's, I think, what's happening.
Yeah. So the reason why we started with this concept and introducing like a yes person versus a no person is because now we're going to ask you a question. You're going to need to reflect. Your membership, are they all yes people or do you have some no people too? And I think this is a really good, like, come into this conversation. There's no judgment, right? Like it is what it is. Like, but I think a lot of times people think all of my members are yes people, but it's like, you might have some no people in there. You might have some people who really like, you know, don't really value or respect what you do. They haven't really been sold on the journey and the process. And they're kind of like, yeah, I go to class. This is just classes. We're just paying for classes. They're not fully. Yes. They're no people that are in here, and that's okay. You can still serve them. You can still care for them. It's not like you're, you know, like they're bad people. It's just like, they're not there yet. You know, they're not like the person who's like, yeah, I'm bought in. This is a commitment I'm making long-term. I like respect what you're doing. I value what you're doing. I take you seriously. You're my coach. Like there's a difference, and you know, the members that are yes people and the members that are no people. So that's important now to also like evaluate your own membership.
Yeah. And this is tricky because I got off the phone with someone the other day that, and you guys do this too. It's like when you think about raising rates, you'll go down your list of people and you'll do the yes, no of like, I'm going to keep that person. This person's on the fence and this person's like a hell no. And so it's naturally happening in a certain degree, but you're absolutely right. It's like, you have to go deeper beyond the money, I think. And you start looking again at the people and the process that you have and say, do they believe in the methods and the outcomes that I'm offering or promising? And are they aligning on that level? And then it happens to cost X. And that's what I think is the deeper level for a lot of owners, that they're kind of getting lost in the money and the worry of if it will disappear or if it will stay. And then what we really need to kind of go and say, well, this is where I'm going with the direction of my program. And anyone that aligns with those things is a yes person because they want the outcomes. They're willing to put in the work and it just happens to cost this. And I think that's where I start to see the transition of, well, I could lose 7 to 10 people if I raise my rates and I wouldn't notice any difference in revenue. And they start thinking through that and saying, well, I'd actually get more of the people I like to work with and more aligned with falling out of love with just the payment and starting to recognize that this person that they're worried about, you know, doesn't show up to group class, constantly complains, always wants things that you don't offer. And you start realizing, you're like, man, I really don't even like some of the people in there, and I would be relieved to know that I could replace them with a higher value person or kind of tighten up that membership culture around the thing that, you know, you really want to do long-term.
Yeah. And so as you're kind of evaluating who, you know, who in your membership might lean towards being like, yes, they get it. They're bought in versus, they don't yet. That's good to know. And kind of tying this back to our title, which is how do I increase rates when I'm already losing members to lesser price competitors? I think that the key thing is you're losing no people. And is that a bad thing? Right? Like, is it a bad thing that no people leave? Now, you might be like, yes, Andrea, absolutely it is. Like, I need to pay my bills. What do you mean? I need all of the people. I need yes people. I know I need no people. And even this frantic energy that I'm like obviously exaggerating. If you're in that stage, like it's understandable that you're hanging on to the no people, right? Because in your mind, no people mean like my bills are covered. Right. Your no people mean I'm safe, like financially, right? Like I'm not going to lose anything. Like I'm not going to go bankrupt. Like I need the no people. So it's important to acknowledge that. But then it's also important to know that if you were to create safety another way, and safety didn't mean hang on to the no people, would you be open to that? And so that's like kind of where we're moving into the next part of the conversation. But yeah, I think it's not a bad thing that no people leave. And I think you need to start telling yourself that. And then the other thing that's one area to problem solve. The other area to problem solve is like, okay, so how do I create safety if the no people are not going to be my safety anymore?
I think I want to reiterate this because you brought it up before we started chatting. I thought it was so important, is like this concept of risk. You know, as a business owner, you're constantly assessing which path or which decision, if I make this decision, how's it going to impact my business and my future? And that's that moment. The moment you just described is like the feeling like, if I just stay put and anchor myself and don't disrupt the price point, I'll protect my cash flow or my recurring revenue. And what you're saying, in a sense, it's like, it's okay to do that temporarily. But if you recognize that that's an issue, there's actually a strategy of saying, okay, if we can approach this as saying, let's build a pipeline, let's build, say, a new offer, a new opportunity for people coming in. And that is a higher price point. You're going to be able to create some leverage and minimize that risk of, if you do lose anybody, new people coming in are going to not only cover that cash flow, but allow you to actually cut some of the unfavorable no people that no longer align with what you have to offer and no longer value it in the same way. So that, I think, is an important piece of just saying it's our responsibility to take a look at it and say, there's risk in staying put and doing nothing, because that means that you could be unhappy. It means that you're constantly waking up and looking at your bank account every day or every month and realizing, crap, I got to enroll 10 people just to break even, or I'm not collecting a paycheck. That's risky, of just staying put. So which one is less risky is really what we're saying. And is there a path forward that is more planned out and step-by-step oriented that you could follow today?
Yeah, for sure. And so I think that now that, you know, we've gotten to this part where it's like, okay, you know, I don't want to keep keeping the no people. I want to let them go, but how do I find yes people? What do yes people buy? Are they actually going to buy at that price? Like, that is now kind of where you're at, because you want to problem solve for that. And so this is the where we kind of introduce the concept of like building a yes product for a yes person. Love so that. What is a yes product? Walk us through that.
Yeah. So this is such a fun conversation for me, because it like takes me back to like why I became a coach, you know. And it's like, when you remove the money and just focus on like, what's the thing that I'm offering? And, you know, I want to be the best coach ever. So I'm going to say like, I'm going to promise you that I'm going to help you lose weight, build, muscle, and create a consistent fitness routine. I get so excited about that. And it's like, hey guys, if you start thinking about that, that becomes what we're offering people in terms of outcomes. So if you've forgotten that and think it's just class, that in itself, I think you've lost track that you're actually offering a product. And that can be confusing. Like, you need to get like woken up. Hopefully this shakes you up and say, whoa, I am offering an actual experience that someone's paying for, and they have an expectation of an outcome. And then all of a sudden that wakes you up like, all right, I got to get back to work in terms of like, how do I improve this thing? And how do I make it more fitting for the yes people, the people that pay on time, pay the rates that we need, follow through. And I think overall, end up having the characteristics and qualities that help you build a culture of like growth and friendship and all the things that, when people say, you know, community, I think that's what a lot of people are saying, but it's hard to sell people on that, but you have to build it. And I think that starts with returning back to your product and saying, hey, you have to have an outcome. You have to have a clear delivery of what that is. And it's important that we understand what the commitment is or what the process looks like to actually get there. And that's what designing a yes product looks like. And there's a sense of clarity, confidence of saying, this is really what yes people want. And that's the place where you start realizing like these no people, well, are they willing to do those things? Are they doing those things? Do they value those things? And that's where I think the divide happens of being okay in what we were talking about of just saying, hey, eventually I could let these people go. But anyone new that I attract is going to want this thing and they're going to be excited to pay for it. They're going to be almost like relieved they found you. They're like, this, I can't find this anywhere. And I've been struggling and I have been in and out of shape and I've been failing. Thank you. Like there's a whole different energy when you find your yes people.
Yeah, for sure. And it's knowing your yes person, right? Because you talked about like the process that you are. So I think about it like gym owners sell a process. They just don't know that yet. You sell a process and you know that that process comes with a lot of different solutions that you've offered to your yes person. So you've identified my yes person wants to come in 3 times a week, but they get stuck here. One of my solutions to that is attendance accountability. That is one solution in your process. Another thing you've identified is my yes person wants to work out, but like doesn't know what to do. So one of your solutions is a class with a guided coach. And so you've done that over and over and over again with like, they care about nutrition. Here's the solution. They care about this. Here's the solution. So you're not just saying like, come to my classes. You are walking them through a process that gets them their result. Yes, people care about every solution in the process. No, people just look at one and they're like, this is all I need. I don't need anything else. No, I don't want that stuff. Can I just work out? Right. That's an idea that like, or that's an indication that like, this person isn't bought into the process of becoming like healthy and fit for life. They just like, they're really zoned in on this thing. And it might be, they just don't understand. They don't understand it all yet. And so that's your job as the owner marketer, as salesperson, is to sell them on the vision and the process and the journey of becoming that person. And the better that you can get to that and better that you do that, the better that you attract, the better that you turn no people into yes people. And also the better that you are retaining people. Cause then, you know, they're just bought into the journey and they know that it's going to be lifelong. So.
Yeah. You brought up a great point. Cause I think some members would be yes people who are kind of on the fence of no, if you look through that list, in regards to their ability to see where your value is. So much of the communication and how you articulate this is important to those people on the fence too. And what I see in long-term members, like becoming new higher paying members, is often they want clarity or confidence that this is still the right thing for me. And so many of our long-term clients, and I've had this discussion with you in your experience with gyms, it's like a lot of people want to enter like into mastery where they feel like they have the fundamentals and that's where they'll say, I just need class, but they're waiting for someone, the owner, the gym, to be like, well, let's take it to the next level. You know, there's progressions that you don't, you know, have, there's, you know, muscle tone or confidence or, you know, things that you can achieve, but we haven't reminded them that there's still more work to be done. And I have a solution and a path for that inside the group. And that often, guys, is left out. So getting into the product actually helps you become a better communicator of the problems that long-term members continue to have. Because it's not like people just become problemless. You know, it's like if we're not selling internally, then how are we going to educate them on how we can help them become aware of the problem and then continue to solve it? So there is that piece of it, but I don't want people to think that like, you know, we're not elevating the product and innovating it for both sides of it. It's like, you have to look at it as your product is the thing that you have to re-enroll old members in that need to come up, and then new people out there are just gonna be more or less like uninformed about what their previous experience is because they haven't had any with you. And that's why it feels, I think, easier to go the route of saying, let's get 10 new people signed up at a new rate. And I think it's a great strategy, like we've talked about in the past, to get that energy into your business, to get those people feeling like, man, I have waited so long for you and here's my money. And yes, I'll show up, coach, just tell me what to do. That reinvigorates owners. And, you know, how we arrived at this conversation, a lot of those new people start to realize that I don't need them, or I was focused on the wrong person to begin with. I needed a reminder of who my product was for.
Yeah. So once you build out a yes product for a yes person, you kind of started talking about this, but now it's like, okay, now you need to go out and sell that. You need to find the yes people. We really like the first sort of challenge is enroll your first 10 members at that profitable price point. Because once your brain does that and sees the evidence that people can and will pay for this 10 times, you can build on that foundation. That now becomes your baseline. And slowly and surely, you'll be like, wait, why is so-and-so only paying $99 a month? Right. And that's okay. Like, you can have those thoughts because you've up-leveled the level of your service, the level of your communication, like you've really increased the value. And so you've in deep down believe this is worth more than 99 or 130 or however much you're charging. But it takes bringing in those people, having them pay consistently, and even like building up your monthly recurring revenue or your group auto pay to like feel safe doing that increase, right? Feel like even if 10 of my members leave, like these people have bridged that dip that will come. And that is such a great place to be in because now it's still going to be challenging, right? Like you're still going to have drama about like, people are not going to like this. What does this mean about me? Is it okay to do like, that's still normal. And all of our clients go through that journey of, you know, just dealing with just normal human emotions, especially when you like now bring in a community and all of that. But you don't actually have to be, it doesn't have to be so unsafe or so challenging and hard because your finances are set. Like you have created enough financial safeties that if X amount of people leave, like it's going to feel internally painful and like uncomfortable, but financially, like you're still good. Like you still know, you still have the skill of enrolling people at 225, 325, whatever your price point is, like, you know that you can do that. So it like helps you just move through that process that will be challenging a lot more confident.
Yeah. It minimizes the disruption in the cash flow, which so much of this hardship and feelings of stress come from. But it also on the grander side of this is a lot, almost like paying off debt. You're trying to get like to a break-even point, which is like, how do I swap out a lower paying membership for a current market rate while knowing that once I get there in terms of making that membership flip and everybody old and new are on the same rates, you still have to grow. Like you got to start a savings account in that analogy. You got to start, you know, your emergency fund. And this is like the moment where you start breaking through that old previous recurring revenue benchmark, and you actually start seeing growth. And that my point in sharing that is it takes time for people to get out of debt. They actually have to work harder during that phase before it starts feeling like I can invest for the future or save. So if you don't have that mindset and you just think it's going to be an overnight success, your expectations off, your steps are too far down the line. And that can also throw you off from doing that. You have unrealistic expectations of what it takes to get beyond this problem. And I just want to be here saying, hey, Andrea, this is an amazing strategy. We've done this over and over again for people. And in many cases, our owners are like, I love when they hit that moment where they have the new people coming in and they start to look out on the coaching floor and they're like, this person is $80, $100 less. And something shifts in them, this belief of like, I've been underselling myself. I've been unaware that people actually value me at a professional rate that allows me to have my income where I need it. And this light bulb goes off of like, I could do this. This is my career that I always thought through, but it's like, why didn't I do this sooner? Where did all this stress and energy and it was tied to a lot of people are hung up on what's the strategy, what's the plan, what's the steps. But it starts with the thoughts is what we're saying. We have to recognize that there's a solution, a path forward to get beyond the worry of cash. And this is a great strategy to start with 10 new people coming in the door at higher rates, with the understanding that you still have to go through the toughness of improving your current member rates to an actual current profitable rate. But this will save the ease and worry of any difference of cash flow to pay your bills. And I think that is a great starting place.
Yeah. And it's almost like when you said that, of like a gym owner seeing, you know, people on the floor and realizing like, oh, this person's paying, you know, $80 more, $100 more. And then that moment you think, that's not fair. Like, huh, that feels off. You start questioning that. That's because you yourself have a belief that like, it's worth more. People have paid more. This person's paying more. Like now you have evidence to hang on to. And this is how you, going back to the title, this is how you increase rates when people are currently leaving, is you have to build belief and evidence that it's okay. They can leave to lesser price competitors. I'm just going to go find more yes people because I know how to do that. And I've already done it. Yeah. That's how you do that. It's going through all of these, you know, the strategy, the mindset to get to a point where like, it doesn't even bother you that people go to like other lesser price competitors. Cause you're like, I know how to find yes people and they're out there and they can enroll. And like, you know, so, and that's a great place to be as a business owner, gym owner, where, you know, you just feel really in control of your sales, your marketing and all that.
It's kind of like, I don't know why this analogy popped in my head, but it's like a breakup. You know, it's like, if you ever break up with someone, it's really hard to like get back out there. And it like, sometimes there's this like hurtful feeling of like, I'm not enough. What did I do wrong? Or like, and you like sit in that. And sometimes you could get too much in your head about that relationship or that one person. And you forget there's a whole bunch of people out there that are abundant. It's just, they don't know you exist. They don't know you're on the market, right? So it's like, unless you realize that you're in control of that, it can absolutely feel like you're just sulking. And what I'm saying is wake up. It's time to get out on the market and bring people back in that know you're open, you're available. And that's the mindset. Even though it sucks for everyone that's gone through a breakup, it's like, that's what we're talking about. So I understand the discomfort. But that doesn't change the fact that if you don't want to, you know, be lonely and disappointed and, you know, without membership, you have to do this. This isn't a matter of if. So get back out there.
Yes. So this was great. I think that, yeah, it was great to talk about that, introduce a little, like a new concept, and very relevant because in a couple of weeks, we are actually having a free training that teaches you how to enroll your first 10 members into a profitable group membership. So if you've been listening to our content, you know that that is what we're about. We're about keeping your gym simple, lean, and profitable. And one of the ways to do that is to actually price your group memberships at a profitable rate and be able to sell them regardless of the market that you're in, which I know that everybody has their own drama of like, no, but you don't understand my market. It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what your market is. If you know how to like sell and market this type of program, like, and you know how to do that well, it's going to work no matter where you are. And obviously your profitable rate is going to be very unique to you. You know, your expenses, your gym factors and all of that. But it's the stepping stone to actually creating a profitable business, a profitable gym that like creates financial security and allows you to, you know, live the life that you wanted to create when you first opened your gym to become a business owner. So go ahead and register for that training. There is a link in the description of this podcast episode that gives you the details, the time, the date. It is in November. I don't know exactly the date off the top of my head. And I'm like, I don't want to say the wrong one. So just look at the date, sign up and register, and you'll get more information. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. See you guys.